Welcome to Kinky Sex Radio.
Hello, kinksters and kinkettes. It's Kinky Sex Radio. Wednesday, hump day. My name's Professor Tom, and with me,
Gypsy.
Miss Gypsy, back for her second week. You showed up.
Yeah, I think I'll keep around for a little bit.
Then you're going to stick around for at least another minute, huh?
At least.
So we've got quite a few subjects to get to this week. I want to start with, talking about tittytops.com, because they've given us a couple of t-shirts to give away. So if you haven't already joined our forums, join them, because not only do you get a free t-shirt, or we have two actually to give away, so we'll have two winners from tittytops.com. But also, if you are not really into a t-shirt, we've got sex toys on the way. We've got a book, a really nice little erotic thriller with bondage themes coming in, and exotic wood paddles, blah, 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 blah. It's free stuff. It costs you nothing to register on our forums.
And everybody likes free stuff.
Everybody loves free stuff, especially shirts, sex toys, and paddles.
Look, I love paddles.
That's all you need. That's a Saturday night right there. You just go to kinkysexradio.com and click the link that says forums. Also, if you've somehow gotten this podcast because you found it laying in a street somewhere and you're thinking, hey, this isn't bad, I'd like to hear others. Well, guess what? They're all free. They're all online at kinkysexradio.com. You can email us at kinky@kinkysexradio.com. Isn't that easy? It's all the same damn address. Just go there and all your needs. Gypsy, I have a question for you.
Okay, let's hear it.
Last week, you identified yourself as a lifestyle submissive.
Right.
And I got some questions about, hey, okay, what the hell's a lifestyle submissive? So let's start with a general definition for our newbies out there.
Generally, it comes down to the term lifestyle. You include it in your everyday life when you have a relationship with someone. The dynamic, the DNS dynamic or the BDSM dynamic doesn't just stop when you're outside of the bedroom. There's the constant power exchange. That's generally what it means to be a lifestyle submissive. Now, that's not to say that you're at work and you're going to be submissive to every person, you know, that has a bit of control over you, but in your interpersonal relationships with your significant other or others, if you're poly, then there's the DNS dynamic.
So at no point for you has the scene ended with your partner.
Right.
And it's a constant. So give me an example, not to get too much into your business here, but give me an example of outside the bedroom how you would interact with someone who was playing a lifestyle dominant.
Well, it would probably change for everybody, but for me personally, it's making sure their needs are met, having their clothes laid out for them, cooking them meals, just general service type of, you know, you adhere to their rules. They set out, you know, you can do this, that, or the other. You know, you have to follow this, you have to do this at this certain time, I expect this of you, and there's always that power exchange. You defer to them.
And do you get a sexual thrill from this, or a psychological sense of well-being, or a mix of the two, or what?
It's a mix of the two, but I have to admit that it's mostly mental. If someone, because I can bottom to a lot of people, but to actually feel submissive to somebody is rare for me.
Interesting. That's a neat idea. I think you are the first lifestyle submissive I've had any long-term interaction with. It means nothing. Just thought I'd share. Something else that you did, and this is a question from me. So other people asked you that question. This is one from Professor Tom. You mentioned that you did hook suspensions.
Right.
And while we were debating this before we recorded the show as to whether or not it's kinky, because I only ever see it at fetish balls. But for you, it's more of a spiritual thing than a kinky thing.
Yeah.
So let's start from the beginning, and we'll get back into the debate so everyone can kind of participate. But let's go from the basics on, explain what a suspension is, again, to folks who don't know, and then work through method, and we'll get into whether we think it's kinky or not.
Okay, well, there's various ways you can do a suspension. Typically, the most common for your first suspension is either what's called a suicide suspension, where you have hooks that are placed in your upper back, just below your shoulders, and you generally, for your first time, depending on weight distribution, they use 4 to 6 hooks. I did take 2 hooks for my first time, as suicide suspension. But and the, also another common suspension for the first time is what's called a Superman suspension, where you have hooks going from your shoulders, your lower back, your upper thighs, and your calves. And you're in essentially a Superman position, like you're flying.
And just to make this a clear picture for those of you who are not quite sure what she's talking about, you are hanging from hooks in your flesh.
Yes,
solely.
Correct. That's what's supporting you is the hooks through your flesh.
And I can tell you it's an amazing thing to watch. You'd never, no, never get me up there. Wouldn't happen. Not even for a second. So explain to me then, because the impression I got was that it transcends pain.
When you are suspending, your endorphins kick in that your body says, hey, this person's in pain. We have to, you know, step up to the par here and make sure that they're not feeling this pain. After the first few minutes of you being up, the pain really isn't there. Your endorphins kick in, your adrenaline's going, and that's part of the experience for me is overcoming the initial pain. You ignore, you know, the pain aspect of it and just concentrate on getting up in the air. And the experience is different for everybody. You could ask 50 people, you know, about their experiences from suspension and they're all going to tell you a different story. You can't really go into suspension and have the idea of what you're going to get from it. Because if you expect, oh, I'm going to have this transcendental experience, I'm going to talk to the gods, I'm going to have this, that, or the other, then if it doesn't happen, you'll have a disappointing experience because it's going to be different every single time for every single person. And that's part of the draw is you don't know what you're going to gain from the experience other than the physical sensations. Any mental or, you know, spiritual sensations that you get are from having a clear mind and allowing it to come to you.
So when you say that it the endorphins kick in, and you transcend pain, I think is the word I used, but you go beyond the pain. Does that mean it's not hurting?
Oh, don't get me wrong. It does hurt, but that's not what you're focusing on at the time for me.
So what are you focusing on?
I'm focusing on the experience as a whole, the rush of my entire body is being fully supported by 2 6-gauge hooks through my flesh. And to know that I've overcome that and experienced that makes me feel like I can take on the world.
So it's a sense of a sense of accomplishment.
It's that. It's honestly, it's fun to be essentially weightless and you're swinging around, and it's not going to be like this for everybody, but you definitely have a different perspective on the world after your suspension.
And is that what you mean by spiritual?
Yes.
Is that so? It's not exactly a commune with God so much as that you're
but
feeling
this elation? It has been in the past for others. The suspensions started out with the Native Americans. They do, it's called a Sundance ritual, mm-hmm. and they do what's called an Okipa suspension, which is a suspension through the chest. Now, they obviously used different, they don't use stainless steel hooks.
Do they now?
I am honestly not sure.
Okay. So it starts with Native Americans, and part of then that was to become a man. You had to do 13 stones. It was a warrior tradition, if I remember correctly.
It was that and connecting with the gods.
Oh, yes, of course, communicating with the gods mm-hmm. at the same time. Now, let walk us through. So you go, there's a dude, he puts hooks in you. I mean, that's obviously a dumbed-down version. So if someone listening is interested in doing a suspension, how do they hook up with someone who's qualified? And then what could they expect? A, B, C, D.
Well, you would want to contact, there's suspension groups all around the country, all around the world, in fact, that are very well versed in performing suspensions. A good place to go to find different suspension groups is suspension.org. They have different listings for different suspension groups around the country and around the world, and it's actually run by a man named Alan Faulkner. He has started, you know, he's played a huge part in the modern suspension movement, and he runs the website, and you can get in contact with different suspension groups around the country through there.
So this is not the kind of thing that you could just go and buy the equipment, say, online and figure out with your buddies.
You could, but it probably wouldn't be a very good idea. You definitely want to go to someone that
I like the way
is...
you said that. You could. But... if you were an idiot.
Yeah, it's not a very smart idea. You definitely want to go to a group that's experienced in performing suspensions and someone that's going to take the precautions as far as being sterile and being safe and knowing where the hook placement should be. And, you know, I've suspended with one group out of the East Coast, and they're very good at what they do, and they make your experience as much as it can be.
Yeah, when I saw it done, you were mentioning the cleanliness. When I saw it done, those guys, it was like a 5 or 6 man troop. So three of them were sort of in charge of the piercings, and then three of them were either new or they were just the ones getting suspended. I wasn't sure how it broke down as far as their dynamics. But the three gentlemen who were in charge of keeping everything together were fastidious. They covered everything, and I guess it's iodine or something they're using.
No, they use Technicare.
Yeah, gloves everywhere. They're washing everything down. It was a sight to behold them do it, because they're doing this in a bar in New Orleans. Mm-hmm. Not the cleanest place in the world.
Right.
And they were literally sterilizing an entire corner of this bar. And I guess, yeah, that's the kind of thing you hit Hep C and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So walk us through, like, say your last suspension, for example. You go there, you know the person who's been doing it.
Mm-hmm.
You walk in, they say, "Hi, Gypsy." Do you pick your hooks then, or does the person who is going to suspend you make those decisions, or is it something you've worked out?
Well, it depends on what you want to get from the suspension. For me, I wanted to do a suspension that I was comfortable with, which was the 2-point suicide suspension, and they use 6-gauge hooks for
that.
Now,
who's they? More than one person?
Yes, there's 2 people from the suspension group that I was working with. That did my suspension. One person threw the hooks, and by throwing the hooks, I mean putting the hooks through my flesh.
Okay.
And they...
This is the worst term. Suicide suspension, throwing the hooks. Like, they need to soften it up a little.
Yeah, and to insert the hooks, they use... they have a piercing needle on the end of the hook, and they follow through with the hook. They don't actually pierce you.
Now, are you
hook.
Hanging from chain or rope, or does it matter?
It's rope. They use 550 cord, just 550, you know... military grade parachute cord.
Take you up slowly?
And they have a rig. Well, it's called the suspension rig, is where the rope is looped through, and then they have a pulley system.
Oh, okay.
And
gotcha.
One person watches you to make sure you're doing okay, and then another person mans the pulley system.
How fast? Is it incredibly slow they take you up? Or
it's
is it
all dependent
quick?
On the person that's suspending. You can say... You can walk into it or have them bring you up quickly, or you can even bring yourself up.
How long do you hang?
It varies from time to time.
So you don't personally have an average? It's sometimes a minute, sometimes an hour?
For me, it's I usually go up for about an hour.
About an hour. Mm-hmm. Now, when you've seen other people doing it, is an hour common, or do some people do 4, or do some people do 12 minutes?
Some people do 30 seconds. It all depends on your personal experience, how mm-hmm. you're feeling it, what kind of mental state you're in, how much you can handle at that point in time. Some people go up for 30 seconds and say, "I need to come down." Some people go up and hang for 2 hours. It's just all on your personal experience.
It sounds like an amazing thing.
It's definitely...
Maybe you can talk me into it sometime.
Perhaps.
I've watched it done, and again, to see it done, it is breathtaking. It is to watch the elation on their face, to see it, but man, does it squeak me out. You know, just the idea of it happening. I don't mind watching them get pierced. I don't mind watching them get taken up. Matter of fact, if I were qualified, I could even run the pulley, you know. I could do it to them, but the idea of the hooks in my back, I guess I just got to get used to it like anything else. Let's move on, because we got an email. A rather long email, but the gist of it was... But this gentleman has a newfound interest in kink. Now, is this healthy or some sort of twisted manifestation of inner psychological turmoil? And then he ends with, "Am I insane, Professor Tom?" Well, let me first say that diagnosing mental conditions is in no way what I plan to do on an internet talk radio show. You may or may not be insane. However, given that you have an interest in kink, and in this case he mentions humiliation, just because something feels like an overwhelming and overpowering desire, you feel as though you're helpless to it, well, that may not be a compulsion. And there's a fine line. Is that making sense?
Yeah.
You have an overwhelming compulsion to have sex, but you don't define it as a compulsion until it gets in the way of your job or your family or your relationships. And that's the real criteria. The difference between a passionate hobby or a really involved kinkster is strictly a matter of, do you still maintain other relationships? But you had a technical definition that you found for us.
Right, I found
I
this.
Have it.
You have it over there?
I have it. I'll read it. As soon as I get done clearing my throat, forgive me. Is this? No, this is not it. Here it is. I got it.
Maybe I should keep you more organized, Tom.
I was organized. And I moved all my papers around. So this was from the Psychiatric Association. No.
American Psychiatric Association.
Thank you.
Website.
They define sexual masochism as two qualifiers. A, over a period of at least 6 months, recurrent, intense, sexually arousing fantasies, sexual urges, or behaviors involving the act, real, not simulated, of being humiliated, beaten, bound, or otherwise made to suffer. So if you have A, which almost everyone listening to our program probably is saying, hey, wait, that's me, here's the important part. B, the fantasies, sexual urges, or behaviors cause clinically significant distress or impairment in social, occupational, or other important areas of functioning. See, it's B that makes you insane.
Right, and you have to have both, but you can put any definition before that B requirement and say, hey, if you're doing this and it's causing distress in your life, then you're messed up.
Yeah, if you're eating food four times a day and it's causing distress in your life, you have an eating disorder.
Right.
So, yeah, you're absolutely right. And sexual sadism is virtually the same thing. Just matter of fact, they're almost identical. It's just including humiliation of the victim, which is sexually exciting the person. So I wouldn't worry about it unless it starts conflicting with your work. And then you certainly do not want to go to a talk radio show to diagnose you. You want to go sit down on a couch with a nice person who talks about your father and gives you a fair assessment of your mental state.
And there are the kink-aware professionals that have listings of psychologists and other doctors that are kink-friendly and aren't going to snub their nose at you for saying, hey, I like to be beat.
And rest assured that at one point in time or another, anyone with any sort of deviation from what is the supposed norm in their culture sexually has felt as though they might be insane. Be that a gay person, an asexual person, a kinky person, an overly sexual person, we all at one time or another are giving these ridiculous standards to uphold to that are not true, that no one spanks anybody but you, no one ties anyone up but you, you must be a pervert. And we've all felt, well, maybe there's something wrong with me. Maybe I'm using this to recover. Maybe I need, well, the determination whether you need help, forgive me, I'm sorry. I can't keep my voice up tonight. The determination of whether or not you need help is going to be the criteria of B, and you can seek out some professional advice from time to time. That's my, you like how I ducked out of that one? Like the term professor is merely one given to me for the show. At no point have I earned a PhD in psychology.
He doesn't have a fluffy leather couch here.
I do not have a fluffy leather couch. Not yet. And with that, we draw this episode of Kinky Sex Radio to a close. We want to invite you one more time to come to our forums. Hang out with us, meet us, ask questions. A lot of the topics we get for the show come from the forums. If you're thinking you'd like to hear something or you have a question for us, you can always send it once again to kinky@kinkysexradio.com. It's your second one. How do you feel?
I think I'm starting to get the swing of things.
I think you are. You're coming out of your shell a little bit, too.
Maybe a little bit.
You're a natural.
If you stay tuned, maybe I'll get a little bit more natural.
Uh-oh. Lord, that means naked. I'm kidding. It doesn't mean. Who would care? It's the radio.
Right,
who gives a
you
crap?
Can't
we
can see
me. We're both naked. We're both naked.
For all you know, we are both naked.
And there's a unicorn in the room. Look
and
at
a
that.
Midget.
Gypsy. It's a midget unicorn. It's beautiful. If only you could see this, people. That'll teach you to not download vidcasts. Until next week, I'm Professor Tom.
And this is Gypsy.
Play safe.